Julie Harvey here with your new edition of the Epsom Annual Talking Newspaper. It's issue number 2206 and it is being recorded on Thursday the 8th of November 2018. It is some weeks now since the Epsom Guardian turned into the Epsom Comet, and we have noticed that more stories from further afield are being included. And with two-thirds of the paper given over to advertising, there is not always much local news. I did give the paper a good shake this week, and not a great deal fell out, but there are a few stories which I hope will keep you up to date with what is going on. We also have news from Epsom Annual Council's online newsletter, and a look ahead to pantomimes in the area this Christmas, and also musical evenings at the Epsom Playhouse to brighten any grey January days. Perhaps tickets to one might be a nice Christmas gift for someone or a treat for yourself. And Jan Collier has arranged something a little different for you this week. Coming up at the end of the news, before the magazine, we have a special guest who'll be talking to Jan. Carolina Ruprick is an audiologist who heads up the Hearing Centre at Specsavers in Epsom. She will be chatting to Jan about the most common concerns people have about loss of hearing. In the recording studio today, our sound engineer is Joe Piper. Our readers today are Chris Jones, Pam Jarrard, and Paul Brown. We start with the lead story from the Epsom Comet.
Good morning, this is Chris Jones. Teens pals grieve. The family and friends of Sonny Thomason have been paying their respects to the 16-year-old from Tolworth who died in a motorbike crash in Epsom on October the 21st. Sonny Thomason was travelling on a Yamaha motorcycle along Christchurch Road on October the 21st at around 10:40 p.m. when he crashed into a lamppost. Flowers, candles, a poem and a motorcycle helmet have been placed around the lamppost where Sonny is believed to have crashed along Christchurch Road. Dee Thornton, who lives locally to where the crash happened, said she saw a dozen teenagers huddled around the lamppost for most of the half-term week. She said, "Every day, all week, at least a dozen of them would sit together around the lamppost for hours. They are grieving together for their much-loved Sonny." The poem is so touching and was written by this very close group of friends. Miss Thornton, who brought in chocolate raisins to the teens, said, "I just said I was sorry for their loss and they did not really want to talk. I brought something to eat because they were there for hours. They were grateful." Officers investigating the incident would still like to hear from anyone who saw the vehicle travelling prior to the collision. The collision itself or any suspicious driving along Manor Crescent. The matter has been referred to the coroner and an inquest is due to open shortly. The family has asked that their privacy be respected while they come to terms with their loss.
Teens land parts in railway children. Oh, this is Pam Jarrard reading now. Two Epsom teenagers will be taking the stage at Leatherhead Theatre with a troupe of professional actors on a production of the Railway Children musical this November. Romy Clarkson, 14, and Ben Banyard, 17, both from Epsom, will play the roles of Phyllis and Jim in this musical adaptation of Edith Nesbit's much-loved classic, staged and directed by Michael Strassen. They will gain valuable experience of working in professional repertory theatre before they both aim to develop their skills in preparation for a career on the stage. Ben, who is at his first year of studying for his A-levels at Blenheim High School, said, "I'm thrilled to be joining Leatherhead Rep for this production of the Railway Children and cannot wait to learn from and perform with this fantastic team." Catherine Mount, producer of the season, said, "We are so pleased to have been able to offer this opportunity to some local young people." Repertory Theatre was the training ground for many of this country's best love actors, and it's a privilege to be able to continue this tradition. We're very much looking forward to working with Romy and Ben. They are both very talented, and we shall be following their future careers with interest. The Railway Children runs from November the 15th to the 17th, with evening, matinees and school performances.
Hello, this is Paul Brown. Two people were taken to hospital after inhaling smoke in a suspected house fire on Cox Lane in West Ewell. South East Coast Ambulance Service confirmed attending reports of a house fire on Cox Lane at 8:30 a.m. on Monday, October the 29th. A spokesperson for the ambulance service said two patients suffering from smoke inhalation were assessed and treated before being taken to hospital. Pictures published on social media this morning show a big cloud of black smoke visible from afar following the house fire in West Ewell. Eyewitnesses took to social media this morning and reported seeing a helicopter hovering on the scene. A Surrey Fire and Rescue Service spokesman said, "We were called shortly before 8 a.m. to a fire in Cox Lane, West Ewell, and sent four fire engines, a water carrier and some specialist vehicles to extinguish a large fire in a mobile home. Two fire engines remain on the scene."
Van loses control and smashes shelter. A bus shelter in Epsom was destroyed by a commercial delivery van. The van backed into a bus shelter located opposite Nando's in Oak Square on October the 23rd, but no pedestrians were involved. Members of Epsom and Ewell Borough Council's street clean team attended the shelter to clear up all the broken glass and tape it off. An Epsom and Ewell Borough Council spokesman confirmed the damage had been reported to Surrey County Council.
Mum injures thumb during fight. A mum in Leatherhead has undergone surgery for a torn ligament in her thumb as a result of a fight with another mum last week. Officers believe a fight broke out between two mums at Bockett's Farm in Leatherhead at around 2:15 p.m. on October the 26th in the play area of the farm in Young Street. Surrey Police said the fight broke out following a verbal altercation between the two women, after one alleged her child had been injured by the other's son. Surrey Police is appealing for witnesses while an investigation is underway and inquiries remain ongoing. Police would like to speak to anyone who witnessed the incident or with any other information.
Hospital staff get running shoes on. Two maternity workers at Epsom Hospital swapped their scrubs for running gear this weekend as they took on the Dublin Marathon to raise cash for hospitals. Geraldine Cotter, the manager of the special care baby unit, and maternity assistant Massa Cooper ran a lap through the city of Dublin on October the 28th. All funds will go to upkeep the secret garden at St Helier Hospital, in addition to buying equipment for the National Hospital of Sri Lanka. Miss Cotter said, "Massa and I are both keen runners, but this 26.2 mile run is set to challenge us. We know it's going to be gruelling, but it will all be worthwhile if we can make a difference to the two great courses we've chosen." Earlier this year, the secret garden at St Helier, a quiet space for reflection outside the front of Ferguson House, was opened in memory of Leslie Leahy, a neonatal nurse who sadly passed away. "I knew Leslie for 17 years, and so the secret garden, which is open to all of our patients and visitors, is a touching tribute to her. The garden is absolutely beautiful, but obviously costs money to maintain, so all money fundraised online will go towards keeping it looking nice." She added, "I'm also raising money for the National Hospital of Sri Lanka. My husband is Sri Lankan, and so it means a lot to me. They're in need of vital equipment, and so any cash donations or cheques are going towards helping with the funding.
NHS staff lost due to Brexit. Issues surrounding Brexit have made staff recruited from Europe by Epsom and St Elia hospitals leave, according to their trust's chief executive. Daniel Elkalis says people who were brought in from the continent to work have been lost because of problems revolving around the United Kingdom exiting the European Union. It comes as he was quizzed over the Trust's plans to tackle a reported 14.5% staff turnover rate at a Sutton Council Scrutiny Committee meeting. Councillor Param Nanda wanted to know what is being done about driving the figures down. Mr Elkalis, Epsom and St Helier's University Hospital NHS Trust's chief executive, said, "Our turnover rate isn't really very different from many other hospitals. There are a lot of people who only really want a job for 2 years before they expect to get promoted and go somewhere else. One of the things we are lucky about is that lots of people then decide Epsom and St Helier is the place they want to have their career and spend a very long time, so we have a lot of people who have worked for 10 or 15 years, which is very good news. But our vacancy rate is still too high. It's about half what it was when I came, and we've done a lot of recruitment. We did recruit a lot of people from Europe, and we've lost most of them because of the issues with Brexit. We're now training a huge number of people ourselves, and I think at the last count, we had 120 apprentices or people on training programmes that we were paying for ourselves. We've just set up a clinical academy with a group of universities in Pakistan to get a supply of well-qualified doctors. And as a result, our vacancies for medicine roles at St Helier have gone down." Mr Elkalis says agency spend for that element has been plummeted, but admitted there are still a lot of issues with recruitment in various areas. Epsom and St Elia's latest integrated performances report shows the 14.5% turnover rate, excluding doctors, has remained constant since the start of the year. The directorate with the highest yearly turnover is clinical operations, 31%, while renal has the lowest, 8.2%. Mr Elkalis has also hinted that the delivery of a new hospital could be a game changer in the Trust's recruitment drives, to the upset of Keep Our St Helier Hospital, KOSHH campaigners, who were sat in the public gallery.
Good news with car park fee freeze. The majority of fees in council-run car parks in Epsom and Ewell are expected to remain the same for the next 18 months. The Environment and Safe Communities Committee recommended the car park charges freeze at a council meeting on October the 23rd. The recommendations come amid criticism shoppers are deterred from the high street by ongoing works. Councillors say they hope the freeze in car park charges will encourage more people to shop in the area and will support local businesses. The price freeze will apply to all the standard pay-as-you-park tariffs at council-run car parks, while car park permit prices will rise in line with inflation. Councillor Peter O'Donovan, chairman of the Environment and Safe Communities Committee, said, "We are committed to securing the fairest deal and best service possible for car park users. Car parks are an important service to the public, and we need to ensure they are viable, properly maintained, and safe. The majority of the income generated from our car parks is reinvested back into the car parks. The recommendations will be ratified at the full council meeting to agree the council's 2019 to 2020 budget in February."
Why are we bailing out county council? a Labour councillor has slammed plans to help Surrey County Council meet the costs of redeveloping Epsom's town centre. Epsom and Ewell Borough Council has voted to approve plans to spend an additional £2.345 million to help Surrey Council undertake the works to Market Place and the Northern High Street. Surrey County Council has requested an additional £2.245 million in funding due to increased costs after it did not secure a second funding bid from Coast to Capital Local Enterprise Partnership. The extra cash would come from the Council's Community Infrastructure Levy, CIL, which is paid by developers when building in the area. Under central government rules, the levy can only be used to help deliver infrastructure improvements in the local area. Labour councillor Kate Chin said, "We are bailing out the County Council. They overspent. The Residents Association have agreed to bail out the County Council. Surrey County Council should have paid us, or we should have waited until we had the money, because we have no CIL money left." This leaves the CIL funding at just £0.278 million, when the council knows there will be shortages in school places in both primary and secondary schools. The court ward councillor added, "Of course, the Labour councillors agree that making the town attractive for visitors is important. However, I voted against it as I'm not sure renewing some paving is the answer. Online shopping is constantly increasing, so the town needs to add extras that make the town attractive and draws people into the shops and to meet friends and socialise." A Surrey County Council spokesman said, "This is the first major project we've worked on with a borough or district which has been funded through the Local Enterprise Partnership, and the short time frames available to develop the scheme meant it wasn't fully finalised until after the funding was agreed. This meant the original estimates were too low and additional funding is required to complete it. We've been working closely with Epsom and Ewell Borough Council to help bring this project to a conclusion. We've agreed to fund the shortfall in the highway works, and because of the importance of the marketplace, Epsom and Ewell has agreed to bridge the gap in the funding for this part of the project."
Fire station cut concerns. The lives of Surrey residents and firefighters will be put at risk by another round of funding cuts, a fire station has warned. A member of one of Surrey's fire stations, who asked not to be named, told the Comet, "The future of your service is in grave danger, with Surrey facing the biggest funding cuts in England. This is not only putting all of you at risk, but also putting the firefighters' own lives in danger. The morale amongst firefighters is currently at rock bottom, with many transferring to other brigades, leaving early, or seeking new jobs, due to high levels of stress, fatigue, and a very uncertain future, with redundancies looming. Our borough has the highest council tax in the country, and we do not believe that this should be happening. Enough is enough." Fire stations across the country have taken to social media to sound the alarm about the impact of austerity on local services after the County Council announced it expected savings of around £5.8 million by 2021 in its medium-term financial plan. In August, Surrey County Council imposed a ban on individual fire stations and ordered brigades to close down their Facebook pages. Despite this, unofficial Facebook pages for individual fire stations across the country continue to sound the alarm on station closures and reduced coverage. The unnamed fire station member added, "This has had an amazing response, making national tabloids and radio stations, as well as keeping all local residents up to date with events, incidents, and closures. This great response has been met by Surrey County Council, ordering them to close all Facebook pages, gagging them from speaking out, and informing the public of the dangers that they are being put in on a daily basis. A Surrey County Council spokesman said, "We're committed to continuing to transform the fire service to meet the modern needs of our residents and keep them as safe as possible. The work expected of our fire crews has changed greatly in recent years, so it is vital we have an agile service that can respond to these changing needs. We're investing in new equipment and vehicles, and recently carried out a recruitment campaign. Our focus is on creating a flexible service to ensure we have the right people and the right equipment in the right place at the right time to keep Surrey residents safe."
The following news has been taken from the Surrey County Council website. Epsom Town Centre Roadworks. Update on congestion in Epsom. We apologise for the unfortunate delays caused to both Ashley Avenue and Dorking Road due to the lack of coordination of the town centre traffic lights. The recent BT traffic light communications error has now been resolved. Work is underway to update the traffic control system so it takes into account the recent two-way changes. This will improve the coordination between the car park exit and the Playhouse Junction lights. Please note that the current Spread Eagle works will still continue to disrupt town centre traffic at times, and the traffic control system will not be in complete control of traffic until these works are completed. Once restored, the traffic control system will allow remote monitoring and further refinements to improve journey times through the town centre. Spread Eagle Junction. Junction improvements. This phase of the improvements to the town centre is to renew the traffic signals at the Spread Eagle Junction, at the pedestrian crossing at the Ashley Centre access, and at the crossing by Derby Square. As the pedestrian crossings at the Ashley Centre and Spread Eagle are some of the most used in the town centre, they will also have pedestrian countdown markers, so pedestrians can see how long they have to cross. The improvement works will be undertaken in a number of phases. Appropriate signage will be in place to direct pedestrians to specific controlled pedestrian crossing points. We apologise for the inconvenience caused by the works, but please use the alternative pedestrian crossing as advised. The works are planned to finish by the 30th of November.
The next items are taken from Epsom Annual Council's online newsletter. Recycling news. Within the borough, in the 12 months following the changes to our recycling service last summer, we recycled a whopping 1,300 more tonnes of dry recycling, the stuff in your green recycling bin and glass box, than we did in the 12 months prior to the big switch, which was part of our move to Simply Weekly Recycling. We recently conducted a survey on our Simply Weekly Recycling service, and overall it would appear you overwhelmingly like the service. You can view the results of the survey on our website. Some of the feedback reflects a recent national survey which revealed that 3 in 10 people don't recycle as much as they could at home, with 38% citing confusing information on packaging or from councils as the reason. Some in the recycling industry are calling for new labelling guidelines for packaging to make it clearer for consumers what can and cannot be recycled. Following on from what you told us in the Simply Weekly Recycling survey, and in an effort to ensure everyone in Epsom and Ewell knows what to put in which bin, we've joined with the Surrey Waste Partnership to produce a new recycling guide for all households. Households only at present, as our services for flats varies. This will be coming to you soon. Look out for it.
Proposed development of council land. As part of an ongoing consultation with local residents, the council has shared its latest proposals for the council site within the Wells area. Indicative plans have been shared and residents were given the opportunity to engage with the council team leading the project. The council invited all 526 households living at the Wells to see its proposals, and over 80 residents took the opportunity to engage with the council on its plans. The proposal includes a new community space, 23 homes, and a replacement playground. The design incorporates existing mature trees and public rights of way. The size of the new housing echoes the height of nearby properties, and the density of the development acknowledges the layout of the Wells estate. The consultation is in addition to the formal planning application process, which will provide residents with a further opportunity to feed into the plans. The Wells is a 1930s housing development within Epsom Common, built on the land around the well where the original Epsom salts were discovered. The area incorporated an underused council day centre and community hall that required significant refurbishment. In 2015, to ensure continuation of community services, the council decided to close the day centre and redevelop the site, transferring services to the Community and Wellbeing Centre 3 miles away. Following representations from the local community, the hall has remained open while the community explored options. The council has held a number of public meetings since 2015 to address local concerns. No alternatives have been brought forward, and last year the council informed the community of its intention to proceed with the redevelopment of the site. At the local community's request, the existing hall is still partially open, and the new proposals incorporate a community space. The council hopes to commence the redevelopment of its site in 2019.
Council supports bid to improve Stoneleigh Station access. At its last Strategy and Resources Committee meeting, councillors voted to back the SWR, Southwestern Railway, bid to deliver step and obstacle-free access for Stoneleigh Station. This support includes a commitment from the council to provide up to £500,000 towards the costs of the project if SWR are successful in their bid. The train company is bidding for funding from the Department for Transport's Access for All scheme. The scheme provides part funding to enable projects that increase accessibility to transport infrastructure. Stoneleigh Rail Station has an annual footfall of 1.8 million, making it the eighth busiest station in Surrey. It is the only rail station in Epsom and Ewell that is completely inaccessible for some disabled people. Access is also problematic for anyone that has difficulty navigating stairs, or those with young children, carrying shopping, or using a bicycle. Councillor Eber Kington, chairman of the Strategy and Resources Committee, said addressing the station's inadequate access for the disabled is a top priority for the Borough Council. It's vital that the station is able to serve everyone in our community, and we want to ensure that those with a disability and families with young children have full and easy access to the platform and trains. The station is also becoming increasingly busier for commuters to London and others, but it must be available to everyone. This is a competitive bidding process, and the Department for Transport is looking for railway companies' Access for All bids, which have the support of local funding. Our hope is that our financial commitment to the project will make for a successful bid and release a further £4.5 million to be spent on the Stoneleigh Station upgrade. The Department of Transport announced £300 million of funding in July 18 to transform the accessibility of stations across the country. The aim is to deliver step-free and obstacle-free access from street to platform. The programme is called Access for All. The overall cost of the Stoneleigh Station project is likely to be in excess of £5 million. The council has approached Surrey County Council and the Coast to Capital Local Enterprise Partnership, LEP, for their support for the bid, including a request for a funding contribution.
Taxi safety. Earlier this month, our licensing team undertook a joint enforcement operation with Transport for London, TfL. TfL licensed private hire vehicles, minicabs and hackney carriages, taxis, in the boroughs to the north of ours. During an unannounced evening operation, a large number of licensed vehicles were inspected. These included Uber cars, which are not licensed by us, but are licensed by TfL, and can operate within our borough if pre-booked. The vast majority of the licensed taxi drivers and their vehicles were fully compliant, meeting both national legislation and local operating requirements. Where there were non-compliances, these were comparatively minor. The following actions were taken. Epsom and Ewell licensed cars. One driver was issued penalty points for not wearing an identification badge. We issue penalties to drivers and operators who fail to follow our rules fully. TfL operate a different system. One driver was required to have his hire plate refitted. One vehicle was instructed to have a rear light checked. Transport for London licensed cars. 12 minor compliance issues highlighted to drivers. Four vehicles reported for potential MOT failure. One driver educated on the importance of wearing an identification badge. One vehicle reported for unauthorised signage. Two drivers moved on as they had no reason to be in the area. Top tips for keeping safe. With the festive party season on the horizon now is a good time to highlight some basic taxi safety, courtesy of Surrey County Council, for you and your friends and relatives. If you're having a night out, the chances are you'll be taking a taxi home at some point. But if you take a journey in an unlicensed taxi, you're putting your life at risk. Your driver may not be insured if you have an accident, and you run the risk of being cheated, assaulted, or even worse. Is your taxi licensed? All taxis and private hire vehicles must be licensed to ensure they meet legal requirements and that the drivers have passed a number of checks. If you need to get a taxi, check it has a license plate issued by the council and that the driver has an identification badge with their photograph on it. Top tips to ensure you stay safe. Try to pre-book a cab or taxi whenever possible. Request the cost of the taxi fare in advance of your journey if it's not a metered cab. Don't give your name to the driver. Ask them who they're collecting. Always sit in the back of the vehicle. Make sure all doors remain unlocked. Carry your mobile phone in your hand so it's easily accessible. If you are at all suspicious, don't get in and make a note of the number plate. There are no taxi signs on the roof or license plate. Do not use a cab in such circumstances or these others. The driver will not tell you the cost of the taxi journey if not metered. You can't see an identification badge. The driver appears to be under the influence of alcohol. The driver does not seem to know the local area. The vehicle seems to be too old for use as a cab. The vehicle is in a state of disrepair.
Nature Notes with Tony Drakeford. A late winter, followed by a wet spring, then a long hot summer, resulted in a bumper grape harvest. No doubt other flora benefited too, for how rich and vivid have been the colours of autumn. My favourite location to enjoy autumn tints is in Two Storm Wood in Richmond Park. Fenced to keep out browsing deer, the wood was created in 1993 to commemorate the great storms of 1987 and 1990. There is a wide variety of trees within, from lofty ancient oaks to one of Britain's rarest species, namely the wild service tree. The woody fruits were once known as checkers berries, how topical, and used as a cure for colic and dysentery. On this unseasonably warm October day, fading backlit leaves are aglow in russet, gold and green. Speckled wood butterflies flutter among shafts of dappled sunlight filtering down between the trees. And when they alight on the ground, their yellow spotted brown wings blend in perfectly with the leaf litter, rendering them almost invisible. Strolling through the kaleidoscopic myriad hues, I almost stumble upon a magnificent double shaggy parasol mushroom, fully 7 inches tall. Nearby, another has been nibbled, probably by slugs. There is an essence of tranquility about this wood. Birdsong is muted, apart from the old-fashioned wooden football rattle call of a magpie, while a jay utters a rasping screech. Once, a little owl mews in the distance. Nearing the end of my walk, I lean back against a 600-year-old oak, for folklore tells us that we will gain strength from so doing. An old wives' tale? I wonder.
Success for harriers. Epsom and Ewell Harriers had a successful day at the Surrey Cross Country Relay Championships in chilly conditions at Stoke Park in Guildford, writes Stuart Flack. The under-13 boys started the day in style by claiming bronze in a closely contested race behind strong teams from South London Harriers and Herne Hill Harriers. Joe Barker got the team off to a great start, finishing fifth on the opening leg, covering the undulating 2.5-kilometre course in 7 minutes 54 seconds. Dan Slaven moved the team up to fourth before Hayden Gale flew around the course to clinch third place. The under-13 girls went one better to claim the silver behind Guildford and Godalming. Sophie Osborne started brilliantly, finishing second on the opening leg for the third fastest lap of the day. Sophie Desmond then extended the lead before Grace Fordham finished off in style for the fifth fastest lap.
Salt's Hit Gold Trail. Chessington and Hook 1, Epsom and Ewell 4. Epsom made it hard for themselves, having Captain Scott Murphy sent off on 25 minutes, writes George Holland. Jake Hurd then put the hosts 1-0 up on 34 minutes, shooting low under keeper Connie Young's dive. However, the lead lasted only 10 minutes as Bobby Bennett equalised just before half-time. The second half saw the Salts score 3 goals without reply. A thumping header by Lloyd Connolly to the far post on 67 minutes put Salts 2-1 up. Robert Hendry made it 3-1 on 76 minutes when he intercepted the keeper's attempted clearance and the ball rolled into the net from the edge of the area. In the 80th minute of injury time, Bobby Bennett sealed the 4-1 wins and Salts can now look forward to hosting Frimley Green at High Road, Chipstead, this Saturday, November the 3rd at 3 p.m.
Now we have some dates for your diaries. Christmas lights switch on. The Epsom Comet carries a large advertisement for the Christmas lights switch on at the Ashley Centre on Saturday, the 17th of November at 5 p.m. The lights switch on show will start at 5 p.m. by Kathy Mocker and H&M, with stars from the Epsom Playhouse pantomime, Jack and the Beanstalk, Ashley Bear and Father Christmas all making an appearance. Prior to that, there will be activities from noon, with face painting, balloon modelling, Punch and Judy, a chance to win a hamper worth at least £300 and more. So expect the Ashley Centre to be busier than normal. But if it's not your idea of fun, you have been warned.
Pantomimes in Surrey 2018-2019. Here are some pantomimes showing in the area next month. There's Jack of the Beanstalk at Epsom Playhouse from the 14th of December to the 6th of January 2019, Aladdin at the Leatherhead Theatre from the 20th to the 30th of December, Beauty and the Beast at Dorking Halls from the 15th to the 29th of December, Cinderella at both the Yvonne Arnault Theatre Guildford and also New Victoria Theatre Woking from the 7th of December to the 6th of January 2019. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs at the Harlequin Red Hill from the 7th to the 31st of December. And there's Peter Pan at Richmond Theatre from the 8th of December to the 13th of January 2019.
Now we have news of music evenings coming to the Epsom Playhouse in January. Monday the 14th of January, Cable Street Rag Band, Studio Jazz, a repertoire of rare old songs from the rough, raggy blues of the 20s to the rich, luscious ballads of the 40s, prices from £10. Wednesday the 16th of January, The Spirit of the Dance, here's one for lovers of Irish and Latin rhythms. The International Spirit of the Dance celebrates its 20-year anniversary as one of the most successful dance shows ever. Seen by more than 30 million people in 20 countries around the world, Spirit of the Dance is a winner of 9 global awards, including Best Choreography and Best International Production. Irish in origin and bursting with raw energy, this explosive and powerful show combines heart-pounding Irish dance with the sensual Latino rhythms of flamenco and red-hot salsa in a thrilling production of strength and passion. Tickets from £27. Sunday the 20th of January, The Searchers in Concert. With classic hits such as Sweets for My Sweet, Needles and Pins, Don't Throw Your Love Away, Sugar and Spice, and When You Walk in the Room, The Searchers have contributed enormously in establishing the UK as the world's leading nation in the music industry. There's no doubt that the decade that gave us the Beatles, as well as the Searchers and many others, was very special and will go down in history as being the most imaginative period of music creativity and expression. Tickets from £23.50. Thursday the 24th of January, The Neil Diamond Story. Described as one of the world's finest vocal tributes to Neil Diamond, Bob Dury has been astounding audiences with his vocal likeness for 10 years, during which time he has performed throughout the UK, Europe and in the United States for the American Neil Diamond Fan Club in both Nashville and Las Vegas. Tickets from £21. Friday the 25th of January, Respect to Aretha. Long life Aretha Franklin fan and powerhouse vocalist Letitia George stars in this heartfelt and uplifting dedication to the Queen of Soul. Tickets from £23.50. Saturday the 26th of January, Jive Talking perform the Bee Gees. This ensemble boasts stars from TV and London's West End and is fronted by real-life family members Darren, Gary and Jack Simmons, making for an unrivalled vocal harmony blend. Backed up by a stunning band and live string section, you'll be taken on a journey from orchestrated 60s classics such as Massachusetts and Words to the 70s disco classics such as Night Fever, Staying Alive and Tragedy. Tickets from £22.50. Sunday the 27th of January, The Sid Lawrence Orchestra, Big Band Spectacular. Hold on tight as Big Band Spectacular takes you on an exciting journey featuring the music of Glenn Miller, Count Basie, Tommy Dorsey, Neil Hefti, Billy May, Frank Sinatra, Ella Fitzgerald and many more. Tickets from £21. Thursday the 31st of January 2019, Sun Records, The Concert. The legendary record label label that brought you Elvis Presley, Jerry Lee Lewis, Johnny Cash, Roy Orbison, Carl Perkins, Rufus Thomas, and scores more rocking pioneers comes to life on live on stage. Revisit the blessed recording studio where their distinctive sound was crafted from gospel blues, hillbilly, country, boogie and western swing by musical visionary Sam Phillips and his trailblazing Memphis studio that brought us That's All Right Mama, Great Balls of Fire, I Walk the Line, Whole Lot of Shaking, Bearcat, Blue Suede Shoes, Good Rocking Tonight, tickets from £23. The booking number for the Epsom Playhouse is 01372 742 555.
That concludes the news section for today.